looking back on the chapter in Ephesians that was read, brethren, how many times, and certainly we've seen heard and studied there in that chapter, and specifically concerning the relationship of marriage. And thank you for recognizing our wedding anniversary. Is that on? It's not on. Oh, because I did throw the toggle switch here, but maybe it was already on.
How's that? Okay, it was already on. But brethren, marriage is very, very important to the Lord. I mean, we see that in Genesis. And so, but you say, well, I thought we may hear from you about missions and outreach, but brethren, I wanted to go ahead and use still this passage concerning the marriage relationship, and then to point out how important this is to the Lord. And that specifically would going down to verse 32, and this was read already, and I'm sure that many of us have been given Bible studies, and we've been hearing sermons concerning marriage. But verse 32 is a verse that the Lord has impressed upon me why it is so important. And here we read that verse 32 where it says, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." And so, brethren, why is it so important? Because the Lord, even from the very beginning, and even before the fall of man and disobedience and sin, we see that, brethren, that the Lord was already teaching us about the Lord Jesus Christ and the church. I mean, he was already, even at that point, way at the beginning. In the beginning of the Lord, you might say, he went ahead and performed the first wedding and creating Eve for Adam. And so, brethren, and here it says the word mystery, but the Lord had his counsel, his plan, even at that point. And here we begin to see how important that is. And what we want to really focus in the role of the local church in the work of missions, considering this verse, considering how marriage, you might say in type, is teaching us what role we have as Christians, members of a local church, in the work of missions. And of course, that's the term that we use, missions. But brethren, I always say that's just the work of the church, the work of the Lord. Missions is the work of the Lord. Missions is why we're here. Missions is why this church is here. We praise the Lord for people here in Indianapolis, because we're not originally from Indiana. I was born in Texas. My wife was born in Mexico. But my parents migrated up to Indiana to the steel mills years ago, and we ended up in Indiana. And I always like to brag about Indiana, because we were saved here. I mean, a lot of good Christian people, and they would witness to us. And my wife was witnessed. She received the witness of a lady there where she was working in a bookbinding factory in the northeast side of Indianapolis, and she was saved. And then she began to witness to me. And so she was saved first, and then she right away started telling me about the plan of salvation and that I needed to be saved. That at that point, we just had our youngest son. He must have been only about four years old. And my wife said, "Well, me and our son are going to be with the Lord forever, but what about you?" And so that got me thinking. And of course, I was religious but lost before, like most Hispanics are. And she invited me to go ahead and go to her baptism. I didn't understand why she would be getting baptized as an adult But I considered that to be very important, so I said, I'll go. And certainly, and it's actually here not too far from where your location is, on King Street, off of West 16th. That's where this lady that had won my wife to the Lord attended church, and a Baptist, it was actually a missionary Baptist church. That church, I don't know if some of you have heard of Dr. James Wells. He was at Indiana Baptist College. He ended up there, and actually then the Lord used him to start another college for the African American ministry outreach. And brethren, it was just amazing what the Lord did with him and that plan. And we could still remember Dr. Ford Porter preaching, a lot of times crying more than preaching, but he was there in the pulpit. And what a, you know, what a blessing all of that was. So we like to brag about Indiana because we were called here and we were sent out. And the Lord, us working then at the initially working with a veteran missionary, the Philippi's, Myron Philippi, the Lord then gave us the privilege of starting the first Hispanic Baptist church in Indianapolis. And by the way, the church continues on. It's got a Mexican-American pastor, Jose Luis Montes de Orca, and it's over on Division in the near west side of the city there, not too many blocks from even the Lucas Stadium there, the White River and the Lucas Stadium. So that's where I just preached there the Thursday before last, because they have their midweek service on Thursday. But brethren, just to see what the Lord has done. But brethren, it's just a blessing to see God's plan and how He works and how He changes people's lives. And brethren, we just rejoice with you, and what a joy it is to be able to be as one family in Christ and see the Lord working. But brethren, as we consider certainly the role of the local church, and you your church has of course have had a great part in that, a very important part. And we are so grateful for you, and we pray for you. We love you, and we're going to continue to pray for you, of course. My children said, "Well, Dad, when are you going to retire?" I said, "I don't see in the Word of God where servants of the Lord retired. As long as the Lord keeps giving me the health, the mental and physical health that I need to continue on, well, I'm going to continue on. Let him decide when he wants to retire me." But I already told my kids, when I leave this earth, don't say that I died or passed away. Say that my dad went to go home to be with the Lord. But brethren, the role of the local church in missions. And well, the mission agency, as we mentioned, is now a ministry that is there because of the local church, and not the other way around. But brethren, as we consider the Great Commission, brethren, this is our mission. This is our primary reason why we're here. I'm always reminded, I mean, the Spirit of God seems like always touches this in my heart to never forget, brethren, that the Lord does not need us. We need Him. He didn't need us to evangelize the world. He could have done it a long time ago and done a much better work than we are sometimes doing. But He did that because to show more of His love. He wanted us to have a part. He wanted us to go ahead and beyond salvation, beyond all those promises and everything that He's provided, then at the judgment seat, that we could also then have the joy of being co-laborers with God, with the Lord. And it's His work, and He's the one that can accomplish it through us. And so, brethren, you know, we could have been raptured in the moment we were saved. Do you believe that? I believe that. He could have saved not only the soul and the spirit, but he could have saved the body as well. But He didn't. He left us here. And certainly we're here on this earth not because we're loved by this world. We're loved by the Father. And He loves us, and He knows what we go through here. And it seems like the closer we're into the Lord, the harder it is to kind of sometimes be around in this world. I don't know about you, but that's the way, you know, it's just how the word of God says the renewing of our mind and that marvelous work of sanctification that the Lord does in our lives. But brethren, getting back to the Great Commission, certainly, I'm sure you know it well, but I'll read it again because it is our main mission, our main purpose for being here. And Matthew 28, 18 through 20, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And so here we see the person and the power, the person, the Son of God. And he is not as we as human beings, but he's the husband of the church, and we are members of that body and his body, and he is the head. He, and not only is he the head, but then he's a foundation, and praise the Lord for that. But here we see the person, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his power, and then he gives his command, his commission, to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And so we here first see then the Great Commission. Brethren, that is what we are to be involved with. A local church will have different ministries, different activities, and all of that. But brethren, everything that we do as members of our local church should be done in support of the Great Commission, of the evangelization of the world, then of course be baptizing and then discipling believers. Brethren, church planting is part of the Great Commission. If we don't have a local church, then where are we going to baptize and disciple new believers? And now the Lord has given me the privilege and the blessing to be able to be a church planting missionary and go to a place and start a local church from nothing. A lot of times we get the impression, especially here in the United States, that a church has to be a certain size and has to be in a certain building. It has to be a church building or a temple or that. But brethren, our second church plant, well, it's his, but that he used us to start, brethren, that the second church plant there in the Guadalajara, Mexico, which is the central part of the country, brethren, we started it under trees. Not only was it not in a house, not only was it not in a barn, and we didn't even have a tarp at the beginning to put over. And in the summertime, it's a rainy season in Guadalajara. And so we would always pray, Lord, hold the rain until we finish this morning's Sunday school and service. And he always did. And so it was just a blessing to see how the Lord worked. And brethren, in most countries, you might call them house churches. There are a lot more house churches than you would have a church that would be in a church building or a temple, as some call it. And so, but brethren, the church planting is the Great Commission. Once we evangelize, we need to get them baptized according to God's word, and then discipled. Discipled how? To teach him. And the Lord, it's interesting, some of the words that are used. This is why I believe that the Lord wants us to, when we are reading the word of God, and we are studying, and we see how the Lord is very precise in everything that he says. And we are to teach other Christians. After we win them to the Lord, after they are converted to the Lord, we are to teach them, right, to observe all things, to obey these things. And brethren, certainly, again, we are to emphasize and put the emphasis where the Lord puts the emphasis. And brethren, that is to continue to seek and to save that which was lost. That's what he said. And then his first message was what? Repent ye and believe the gospel. That was when he first started. That's what he started preaching, the Lord Jesus Christ, to repent and believe the gospel. And, of course, gospel means the good news. Las buenas nuevas, evangelio. It's actually in Spanish. Spanish is very much more closer to the Greek than the English. So a lot of times the words almost sound very much the same. And so, but brethren, we see the Lord being the person and the power, but then we see his plan, the plan to go out and evangelize. And we see in Mark 16:15 where we read, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." The death, burial, and resurrection, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. Brethren, that's good news. The good news for the world. It wasn't exactly good news for the Lord Jesus Christ, but certainly he still had a joy because he knew that was why he came. And it's just amazing. Brethren, if we didn't even have a Bible, brethren, and just to go ahead and just understand the marvel of the divine plan of God. Only God could have devised that plan. Man could never have done that. We as human beings, brother, have a real problem. And that problem is very simple. It really started with Lucifer. And that is that our human nature is prone to being eventually selfish. You know, that sin of ego. And then from that comes pride, vainglory, and then continues on. So I call it the root of sin, as far as the sin root of the ego. And so, brethren, but then you think we would have come up with that? God himself would have to come and be here, the holy, the creator becomes a creature, then to be the sacrifice, the one that would take our place for the condemnation for our disobedience, our transgression, our sin. Only God could have come up with that. But brethren, the Great Commission is to reach every person in every country of the world. And you say, well, how can we do that? Well, you're experiencing as at a local church even here. You pray for missionaries, you provide financial support for missionaries, and what a blessing also when we see churches sending missions groups. There's been church mission trip groups that started coming to visit us in central Mexico when we first got started back in 87 and 88 and on through the years. Almost every year we had at least one church bring a group that now some of the people that came, and not only the young people, but are in ministry, and some of them are even in missions. Like, for instance, the Steins. I don't know if some of you have heard the Stein family. They're now back at Grace Baptist Church of Anderson, Indiana. But Caleb was in high school. One of the sons of the Steins was in high school when they first went to visit us. Today, he is a church planting missionary in Trujillo, Peru. And we see examples of that so much. Not to say the nationals. Brethren, it's just amazing what the Lord has done. I mean, with all my mistakes, with all weaknesses and bad choices and just not praying enough, or not fasting and praying enough like I should have for some things. Brethren, what the Lord has still done with that ministry back in Mexico through the nationals. We started a Bible Institute back in 88. And brethren, now we just came back from Mexico. In July we have what we have now in our second church plant because we have more room there. It's in the country. Our pastor and workers conference, every July we have that. And the Lord is always blesses that. This year we had 9 other Mexican nationals go forward to answer the call to ministry, and some of them to be church planting missionaries. And then we had reports where we started adding up of the graduates of our Bible Institute there in Guadalajara and in our second church plant in La Capilla, that there's been 32 churches that have been planted by our graduates since 1988. And brethren, you know, who deserves the glory? The Lord Jesus Christ, not me. But it's just amazing to see the Mexicans, how they've responded, how some of them, and certainly there's always some that start good and they have problems, and just like other Christians. But just to see the changed lives, just to see the marvelous work that the Lord does through these national workers that are pastors. We have, brethren, Mexico is sending out missionaries, and not only to Mexico, to other countries. There are Mexican missionaries now in Europe, in Asia, in Africa, not only in South America. And brethren, just amazing. And just in the last 35 years, we've seen there's been regional revivals in Latin America, especially in Mexico. And we have a missionary. I just spoke less than a week ago to Ivan Sobrevilla. Ivan Sobrevilla, Mexican man. At that time, he was in the military, lieutenant in the Air Force, with the Mexican Air Force. And brother, he got saved in our open-air evangelism in the main square of Guadalajara. Today, he is a church planting missionary in France. Can you imagine a Mexican learning French to win Frenchmen to do church planting? Of course, he focuses on the Jewish people. The Lord has given him a real burden, him and his wife, for Jewish people. And they're right, they decided to go right there on the border of France and Spain. So, you know, I was just talking through him through Skype, and he says, I go across to Spain and I preach and teach in Spanish, and I'm over here in France, I preach and teach in French. So there, that's to show you how much more we should praise our Lord. Amen. And this man knew nothing of the Lord. I mean, you know, he was just another soul that needed to be saved. And now they just love souls. And I say that they do double duty. But anyway, brethren, we see some examples here in the scriptures too, that which are important. We see how the believers there in Jerusalem, the church there in Jerusalem, how then they went and had, you might say that, they started the church in Antioch. In Acts chapter 13, we see where the Lord went ahead and called the missionaries in the New Testament churches, as a New Testament church as such, where we read there, now there were in the church that was Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, and then of course it names others, but then Saul or Paul, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And so here we see how the Lord then of the church of Jerusalem went ahead and then started the work, helped start the work in certainly the Lord using them in Antioch. And then from there, we see then these great missionaries going out and fulfilling the plan, the divine plan and that the Lord had to reach to through the Gentiles, through the Apostle Paul. And so, brethren, we here in the United States, brethren, we need to go ahead and say, Lord, always keep me with that burden and that love for God's work, for the souls of men, for the reason why I'm here. Brethren, that's why we're here. He could have raptured us when he saved us, but he didn't. Why did he do it? Because he loves us. He wants us to go ahead and be blessed even beyond salvation and all the other promises and wonderful things that we can't even imagine that he has for us. And that is that we would have also part in his work, be co-laborers, you know, under his power and his guidance. So we see here the evangelism, the baptism, the discipleship, and of course the promise. The Lord says, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. How much more would we many times be sensing his presence and enjoying more of his blessings if we would not be empty to self and sin and filled with the Holy Spirit and be in that right relationship to him, to where we're being used of him to do his great work brother. Sometimes I think we miss blessings, and sometimes we don't see that joy. And brother, in prayer, I love the verse that you had up here in Colossians. We need to learn also more maybe and be reminded maybe of how we should pray. We have prayer time every day in the office, the BWM offices, which are in Decatur, Alabama. Every day we have prayer time. We spotlight our missionaries. We also spotlight churches that are on the board. The pastors are on the board and all that. And so I'm one that tries to encourage the staff there. We're here to go ahead and pray for the missionaries, because it's so easy a lot of times for us to go ahead and there's nothing wrong to ask for prayer, have prayer requests to heal someone that's ill, to help someone that has problems, difficulties. The Lord, in His grace, He wants it that way. But brethren, we should pray more like the Apostle Paul prayed. How did he pray? Well, you know, like the verse there in Colossians, that the Lord would open more doors of utterance, that we can speak the word of the gospel, the word of God, that the Lord would help take those hindrances away. The Lord will go ahead and prepare hearts. Brethren, you know one thing that is given, one thing that the Lord pressed on my heart, that when I pray, I need to pray for the Lord, the Lord God the Father, to go ahead and draw, God the Spirit to go ahead and convict, and God the Son to go ahead and save. Amen. Try, you know, consider that in your prayers. You know what? It's worked for me. I tell you, sometimes they even ask me. People even ask me, you know, and they see how, you know, maybe some things going on in the news and everything, and the crisis, the spiritual crisis this world is in and everything. And so it's amazing how sometimes you just are amazed how the Lord will just put people in your way, and the Holy Spirit works in their hearts for God the Son to save them and give them the gift of eternal life. And I would encourage you to pray that way. And certainly there'll be other times that we can pray more for our family and our friends, our neighbors and so on, and the physical needs and all that. And of course, the Lord reminds me, a lot of times, you know, our needs, whether it be in physical, emotional, spiritual, financial, are consequences. Sometimes they're actually consequences, not always, but sometimes they are. And I already asked the Lord. I said, Lord, when I leave, you know, when you're done with my the plan you have for my life and for my wife, well, you know, personally, I've asked them. I said, I want to leave not because of the consequences of old age, because certainly that's going about pretty quickly. You know, I'm already 72, but brethren, you know, just to see how the Lord sustains us and just what God can do through us, even with old age, even with illnesses that sometimes are even the consequences of sin, to the degree that maybe we didn't eat, we didn't nourish ourselves in the way the Creator intended us to be nourished. And so a lot of times there are consequences. But brethren, we see here then the plan of the Lord. And I'm just giving you also some things that personally the Lord has impressed on my heart, and how he has gone ahead and blessed us. Because brethren, the Lord wants us to continue to have that love for the lost while there's still time. Time is running out. I'm sure that you've heard this before, the return of the Lord and the super moon, the super red moon, September 27th and all that. But brethren, time is running out. And we need to be busy. I hate to say this, but I sometimes think that sometimes we just get too carried away with things that are not so important, and to the expense of neglecting those things that are really important to the Lord. You know, I just it, it, it just you know, to see the emphasis on sports. I'm not against, you know, the pastor talked about the teams that won and everything. I'm not pointing fingers or anything like that. But it just amazes me. And in Mexico, I tell you, soccer, they call it football. I finally just said from the pulpit to them, I hate football because it takes some of you away from church on Sunday because, of course, they have their soccer games on. They have a professional team there in Guadalajara, and they're fanatics. And sometimes they, you know, if they have these games and everything, some of them won't come to church. They'll go ahead and go to their soccer game. And then they wonder why they have the problems they have. And they wonder why they're not growing spiritually. But brethren, certainly we need to go ahead and put priorities. And we need to ask the Lord, Lord, help me not to be selfish. Help us not to be in vain, living our lives. The Word of God speaks to that effect. And brethren, we can see what the Lord will do when we're going ahead and following His plan and remembering His promise and what our mission really is while we're here, the purpose for why we're here on this earth, and He did not rapture us when He saved us. And so, brethren, every local church is commissioned by our Lord with this great commission, including yours, including ours. Including the churches there that are back in Mexico and other missionaries in their other countries. And we see there in the book of Acts, brethren, that, you know, we're not going to go into much detail, but certainly we see what the Spirit of God will do as far as doing the great and mighty things that he alone can do. Like, for instance, we see there in the book of Acts how it uses the word multiply and growth. In Acts 12:24, we see that the Word of God grew and multiplied. Well, how's that going to happen? By setting priorities. Pastor read from Ephesians chapter 5, we need to go ahead and apply some of those teachings that the Lord gives us, and specifically also of the being good stewards with our time. And sometimes we can go ahead and just continue to be so wrapped up in that. And so, my brethren, we need to go ahead and take the opportunity that the Lord has given us to the maximum and be good stewards of our time and with the good stewards of our gifts and use it for His glory. Use it to go ahead and reach these lost souls. Because, brethren, the rapture has to be, I mean, it could happen even today. And I'm sure some of us would say, well, praise the Lord, I hope it does happen today. But sometimes I end up getting convicted and say, Lord, well, it might be selfish. You know, I want to get out of here sooner than you want me to out of here. And so, but we see there in the book of Acts, brethren, how the Spirit of God worked in a mighty way when those Christians in the beginning went ahead and obeyed and applied those things to their lives and with their changed priorities and changed lives. And we've seen how the Lord, with the Word of God being multiplied, going out, and we see where, like in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, we notice that instead of being approximately 120, now after the day of Pentecost when the Apostle Peter preached, after that, it says that 3,000 souls were added to them. So it became 3,120. And you say, well, brother, you're just too concerned about numbers. Well, we need to remember there's even a book in the law that's called Numbers. And so I think the Lord is concerned about numbers. He's concerned by every single soul. And brethren, even to those that would do harm to us, as some of our missionaries, sometimes we've been in harm's way. But brethren, the Lord, you know, nothing can touch us until the Lord permits it. His divine protection is upon us until he's finished with what He has planned for our lives. But I remember then there in Acts chapter 4, verse 4, where what it says there, as the Spirit of God worked in these Christians, where it says, howbeit many of them, in Acts 4:4, it says, many of, howbeit many of them, this is when the apostles were arrested, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. And every time I read that, it says the number of men, the number of men were about 5,000. You know, and it kind of similar to where, or the same as when it talks about the feeding, the Lord feeding the 4,000, the 5,000, the different times he fed them. But I could just think, well, how many total people could that have been? I mean, if that was just the men, thousands of people. And brother, we the Lord wants that done. Of course, we needed, it has to be done according to God's plan and God's way. And we need to give the message, repent, and believe the gospel. Certainly, we're also always have to be cautious of going ahead and we're so anxious for people to make a profession of faith and pray the sinner's prayer, but we need to make sure that they understand what repentance really means in their terms. I don't know. I tell you, I was religious but lost. I didn't know what repentance meant. I didn't really know what faith the Lord really required to be saved. You know, when you see it's got to be childlike faith. You know, a lot of times that's what I do when I give the plan of salvation. I make it to where people understand the word repentance, about a change of mind of that God is holy, and give always emphasis to the holiness of God and the sinfulness of man. And brethren, sometimes it's so easy to go ahead and say words and say terms that maybe are familiar to us, but not familiar to people. And sometimes there are people very, very educated, very prepared. But at the same time, it's not man that's going to be able to, in his own mind and his own reasoning, we know that that's not the way it's going to happen. It has to be the work of God, the work of the Holy Spirit in the hearts of men. And so, brethren, but the church planning always is important, because there the Lord continues to work from the local churches like yours, like ours, and others, and our missionaries, the churches that they planted. We have a missionary in Haiti, Rodney Fitzsimmons, the Fitzsimmons family in Haiti, in Gonaive, Haiti. He has started, well, the Lord has used them to start 18 churches. 18 churches. And brethren, that's praying and working. Giving the gospel, working, and getting more nationals saved and trained and mentored and encouraged. And brethren, Acts 9:31 had reminded me of this verse where it says, then there, that's of course after Saul was Paul, how the Lord converted him in a miraculous way, where it said that then the churches had rest through all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. Brethren, we need to be praying for revival, but not only praying for revival, we need to be part of the revival. And I'm sure you've had revivals in where it says the revival has to start in your heart. And brethren, a lot of times I think we as Christians, we pray, and maybe not praying the way we should pray. We need the Holy Spirit to help us. The Apostle Paul, the King David. If you studied Psalms 51, that has impressed me a lot to what the Spirit of God inspired him to say in Psalm 51. And some of the key things that he committing such horrible sins is still called a man after God's own heart. And I would say, how in the world could that be? Well, reading Psalm 151, I begin to see why. Brethren, there we see that he had the broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart. And he led the Lord work in his heart to have that godly sorrow brought about by the Holy Spirit. And sometimes maybe we just brush over things and say, well, Lord, forgive me for this. And I'm a good Christian. I was born in a Christian home. I don't do all those bad things, and I never have. But brethren, do you know that, have you ever considered how many times we break the commandments of the Lord every day? When the Lord was asked, Master, what are the greatest commandments? What was his response? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. I just go ahead and ask the Lord, I don't always do that. Do you? And brethren, every time we don't do it, we're breaking God's greatest commandments. Because from those two commandments, the golden rule, actually I say it's golden rules, because, first of all, you need to love the Lord with all your heart, but then you have to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And brethren, many times that, just like Lucifer, we begin to go ahead and be so comfortable and get selfish. And by the time we know it, we forget about others. And so that's not what pleases the Lord, and that's not what's going to glorify the Lord. So we see the work of the Lord involves the local church, starting other churches, of course, being involved and doing everything you can. And also then there are some that the Lord calls specifically to be full-time. You say full-time, we're all full-time Christians, but to be in the ministry as a calling, that supreme calling into the ministry. And brethren, and certainly, serving in a mission agency like I do, there's another thing that we all really feel saddened about. Just in the time that I've had this ministry, which is almost 7 years now, it seems like even in those years, the emphasis on missions, the graduates coming out of our seminaries and Bible colleges and all that, for missions, going into missions, has gone down. It's gone down. Less emphasis, less workers. And so today is what, Sunday? Just last week when we finished the annual meeting, the board meeting of Baptist World Mission, we've done this since I've been in the meeting. Been given the privilege to be in the meeting, but 32 independent fundamental Baptist pastors get on their knees. Of course, we're present as well from the office, and we pray to the Lord of the harvest that He will send more laborers into His harvest. And my prayer this morning, even before coming here to your church, was that maybe, Lord, if it is your will for somebody there at Open Door Baptist Church that you want to call, I plead with you to do that. That is my plea to you, if it is your will. And so, brethren, but then to conclude, because I know time runs so quickly, I'll be glad in the New Jerusalem, because you know what? Also, they're not going to have soccer, but they're not going to have clocks either. But in Mark 16:19-20, we see what they did. What did they do after the Lord gave this great commission? And by the way, it wasn't only to the apostles, huh? It was to all the Christians. In Mark 16, verse 19, we read, "So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth," look what they did, "and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them." Notice that detail. The Lord working with them and confirming the words with signs, signs following. Amen. So they were obedient. And they were blessed. And that's the way we're going to see more blessing. That's the way maybe it'll mean that we won't be praying as much for illnesses, for financial problems, for family problems, and so on. We'll be praying more like the Apostle Paul, the Lord will continue to open doors of utterance. But brethren, we know we need to close. But what is the work of missions? The work of missions is the complete and balanced fulfillment of the Great Commission, from the local church. Every member of our church must be a missionary in the sense of not the calling to ministry, but Brother, we all have that mission. Missionaries, we have that mission. Certainly there are missionaries that are called, just like my wife and I were called. And what an honor. Many times my wife and just sit there in awe and says, why us, you know? We were not born in Christian homes, and yet, you know, it's amazing what the Lord has done up and down through our the brethren, I'm going to see my grandfather again in heaven and my father. You know why? Because I plead to the Lord for their salvation, and the Lord gave me the privilege to lead them to Christ, my dad and his father. The Lord gave me the privilege of baptizing my father at the Hispanic Baptist Church here in Indianapolis. He never learned to read and write. And one of the first things he asked me for, he said, son, he said, buy me a Bible. He didn't know how to read, but he wanted a Bible. Guess what? After a while, he started being able to read a little bit, especially John 3:16, because that's where we started him. But brethren, we need to close, I know. But why we use that verse in Ephesians? Because it was because we see the importance and the place that the Lord Jesus Christ and the church has, the place. And we see that as the wife is to be submissive to her husband, we being the church, teaching and revelation of the Lord in that way, then we need to be submissive to our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And then as the wife is used as the vessel to reproduce, multiply, that's why we're here. The Holy Spirit using local churches to multiply. Start win souls and then start churches to baptize and disciple them. And it's just amazing what the Lord can do. But then in closing, Revelation 19, I couldn't close this until we read this one. In Revelation 19, 7 through 9, where we see, brethren, just meditate on what I'm going to read to you from the Word of God, where it says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. Are you looking to be invited to that marriage? Well, if you're a born-again Christian, you are. If you're not, repent and believe the gospel. The Lord Jesus has already done everything possible for you to become a Christian today. And now is the acceptable time of salvation for you. And it says that his wife hath made herself ready. Are we ready? I pray, Lord, make us ready. Help us to be ready, sincerely and truly ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Wow. Can you imagine? In our human selves that we are, can you imagine how glorious that's going to be? Right. My wife bought me a kind of almost like a white suit. It's more beige than white. And sometimes I wear it, of course, that's maybe not as conservative as what I'm wearing now, but I already told some people. He says, "Wow, what's this?" I said, "Well, I'm just getting used to the wardrobe that I'll be having." Just got to get used to the wardrobe. And so, brethren, I hope you're getting used to the wardrobe, and spiritually speaking. And brethren, we love you. We pray for you. And brethren, it's our prayer that the Lord will continue to go ahead and use us and just be glorified. And that way, he will be glorified. But brethren, if you're here today and that the Spirit of God has touched your heart, only the Spirit of God knows your heart. He's the one that can search your heart. And if you're here today and the Lord has spoken to you, maybe he's given a burden. There's something. Or maybe just here in your local church. Maybe you're just not being as active as you should be. And aggressive, spiritually speaking, aggressive as you should be in the outreach of your church, and maybe in your prayer life as well. Brethren, we need to pray more fervently. We need to pray, we need to agonize in prayer and plead for the Lord to just put more people in our way and burden more hearts. And brethren, I'm seeing that every day, brethren. I see that every day. And I have Spanish tracts in this pocket, English tracts in this pocket. And a lot of people say, well, I don't believe in tracts. Well, I mean, that's the written word. So you don't believe the Bible? That's the written word. Amen? Maybe it's not the tract's not going to have very much of the Bible, but you know what we usually do, like God's simple plan of salvation. Wow, just amazing what the Lord has done that. And we still remember Dr. Ford Porter because we were there at Indiana Baptist College when he was still there. But brethren, we love you. We pray for you. Thank you for your prayers. And I just want to encourage you, and the pastor will come for the invitation, but answer the call to whatever the Spirit of God is speaking to you about. And if you're here and you still, maybe you have not had that childlike faith. Maybe you haven't had that godly sorrow brought by the Holy Spirit. You haven't had that broken spirit and broken contrite heart. Maybe you need to do that today. The Lord would want you to do that today. So the pastor will come. Thank you very much for your attention. God bless you. And Pastor Weigel will come forward for the invitation. Thank you.